Growing up in East Aurora, New York, just outside of Buffalo, we had an annual tradition in our little community. Baker Memorial Methodist Church would always hold a living nativity during Advent that was a nightly portrayal of the birth of our Lord. And this narrated program used real donkeys, real sheep, other livestock, along with actors from the parish. And it was a narrated program that my brother and I used to go to every year with our parents. No matter how much snow was on the ground or how cold it was, we were always there. Well, one year, when my brother was around 4 or 5 years old, we found ourselves again at the pageant, and we were standing next to the pastor of the church. And at that point in the program, the Holy Family was making their way to Bethlehem with Mary seated on the donkey, at which point my brother looked up at my mom and remarked very loudly to her, "Mom, look, there's Mary and Joseph, and Mary's going to have a baby." And at this point, the pastor smiled at my parents, and my parents were all delighted with this great little theologian that they had standing down there. And then my brother continued, "Mom, Mary's riding on Joseph, but who's the guy with the reins?" At this point, my parents wanted to melt into the ground. They were just very embarrassed by this and realized that he needed a few more years of theology before he'd be able to move forward. But one of the more memorable things about this living portrayal to me was that the baby Jesus was always portrayed by a bright light bulb. Now, it was a distance from where the crowd was in the lawn outside the church to where the manger scene was, so you really couldn't see a baby. But at the same time, it just seemed to me that having a light bulb portray our Lord was really communicating something more than just that there was a child in the manger. The light bulb was saying that this was not the birth of an ordinary child. There was this sense of wonder that was trying to be communicated in visible form to the people that were at the pageant. We're trying again to realize that the Messiah had come into the world. God the Son had been born into humanity. And what better way to do that than through light, to have light portray the Son. Well, Isaiah points to this in our first reading tonight. And he says this is 700 years before our Lord came to earth. Isaiah writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone." So on that first Christmas, there was light in the manger because it was no ordinary child. God the Son had taken on human flesh. Saint Ephraim wrote this. He said, "It is a source of great amazement, my beloved, that God came down and made his dwelling a womb, and how a womb of flesh was able to carry a flaming fire." Again, the flaming fire of God's light. Jesus was living light that had come into the world to illumine the darkness of men's hearts. And so it was with wonder that they beheld this child in a manger. So that first Christmas night, we have light from the manger. Well, there was also light in the sky. As St. Luke tells us in the Gospel, he said, "The glory of the Lord shone around about them." Now, the word there for glory, doxa, we're talking about a visible glory that shone. It reminds us of in the Old Testament when Solomon had dedicated the temple of God, that there was this Shekinah light that came down and dwelt in the Holy of Holies. It was like the light, the pillar of fire that guided the children of Israel through the wilderness. And again, here, as the Son of God comes into the world, we have light in the sky. God is showing us that something special is happening. The presence and the power of God was made visible, declaring this glorious event. And then the angels, taking up where the glory light had begun, began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest." They were singing what the light was portraying. Isaiah prophesied that this would be a wondrous event. Again, in our reading, it said that a child is born to us. A son is given to us, and upon his shoulder, dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful. From David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I love that last phrase. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. You know, zeal is an interesting word. It's talking about a zealous vigilance or a jealousy for something that one is one's own property. God was jealous for his creation, jealous for those men and women throughout the ages who were mired down by sin and had yet to find a solution. And in salvation history, he came down. No wonder he let his light shine. This was the answer to all of the darkness in the world. As St. Thomas Aquinas said, God's zeal arises from the intensity of his love. It is evident that the more intensely a power tends to anything, the more vigorously it withstands opposition or resistance. An intense love seeks to remove everything that opposes it. So in the sky, even the darkness of that night was transformed into lightness by the light of God's glory. John Gill, who is a Puritan theologian, just said it this way. Zeal is God's fervent, flaming love. That's what we were seeing in the sky. His fervent, flaming love burning in that sky to let everybody know that something glorious had taken place. His plan for redemption was at hand. His son had actually come into the world. So we have light in the manger. We have light in the sky. And there's one more place that light is really present in this Christmas scene. You know, there's an ancient custom in the church that for the solemnity of the Nativity of the Lord for Christmas, on Christmas Day there are three separate masses, one at night, one at dawn, and one during the day, that give people three-dimensional perspective of this great, great feast. We have the readings from Luke and the readings from John that give us a different aspect of the mystery of the incarnation, telling the story of Christ coming into the world. Now, on the third Mass of Christmas Day, we read the account from John, John chapter 1. And there we read this, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." So what we have now is not only light in the manger and light in the sky, but we have light that overcomes the darkness of the human heart. And this is really the light that will continue to perpetuate on Christmas until he comes again. In 1980, at the Mass for Christmas night, Blessed John Paul II said this, "Today, millions of men and women throughout the world know of it. The light of that night in Bethlehem has reached many hearts. But nevertheless, at the same time, darkness remains. It does not matter that on his first night, the night of God's birth, the joy of that event should have reached only a few hearts. It does not matter. It's destined for every human heart." That was the destiny of Christ's light from that first Christmas. It is a light that we're reminded of at baptism. During baptism, those of you who have been to one recently, you will remember that at one point in the baptismal liturgy, a candle is lit from the paschal candle and handed to the family. And at that point, the deacon or the priest says this to the family, to the parents, the godparents, "This light is entrusted to you to keep burning brightly. This child of yours has been enlightened by Christ. He is to walk always as a child of the light. May he keep the flame of faith alive in his heart." So with all of that going on, the main light to focus upon tonight is the one that God wants to give each of us, to dwell in our hearts, that light which began at baptism and can continue in us and through us as we continue to walk a life in devotion to him. You know, with all the pageantry, all the presents, all the personal traditions of Christmas, it's easy to get distracted from this interior work. But this is at the core of the solemnity. The core of Christmas is about the light of Christ living in each one of us. And just as the Holy Family could not find any room at the inn and had to go to a manger, let it not be that our hearts are the same toward Him tonight, that our hearts would be open to Him, that His life, His light, and His love would be poured out to us. We had light through Advent. You may remember we had the Advent wreath here, and we lit 4 candles, one for each week of Advent, as we anticipated His coming into the world and His second coming. Light is also a part of Christmas. Our Christmas trees are lit. Our decorations, displays. Light is everywhere telling us that Christ is alive. Whatever we do during our celebrations, whatever traditions we follow, whatever wonderful things that we encounter on this feast, festive occasion, let us never forget to light the one most important candle, the one of our hearts that was created to burn, flamed with divine love. In just a moment, we're going to declare our faith with the Nicene Creed. I'm praying that as we declare this faith, that as each word is uttered, that it would ignite in us afresh and anew that flaming fire, that light, that life, that love of Christ, which will be with us from this moment and unto ages of ages. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.